This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by our friends at Off to Neverland Travel. And our friends at Off to Neverland Travel have something pretty cool for Flower and Garden Festival, which is going on right now.
Actually, they have this. They've put together this great app that helps you know where all the topiaries are. It helps you find where all of the stations are for all the food, the wine, and the beverage. It'll really just help you kind of navigate your way through Flower and Garden Fest and know how to not miss a thing.
So there's still time to get down there for Flower and Garden Festival, but call one of their magic makers and book your trip at any time of the year, especially this fall with DLP Fest. They've got those special packages going on. And as I normally say,
all you have to do is snack. I mean, all you have to do is pack.
That's right. All you got to do is pack. So visit gotoneverland.com. That's gotoneverland.com. It lets them know you heard about it right here on WDW Today. And get that vacation planned.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, March 16th, and this is episode 1503 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And we got a guest in today.
Hey, I'm John Schneck.
John Schneck. Very quiet, very, very mild-mannered John Schneck, taking us NPR style. The reason John is here is John was kind of a local originally.
Yes, I did grow up in Orlando area.
And that's not the only reason you're here, because if that was the truth, we'd have a lot of guests. You're here because you recently planned a last-minute trip. Something that a lot of people don't really account for, especially if you listen to this podcast. It's a trip planning podcast, but some of you may have that urge to go down tomorrow, and it's just whether you can actually pull that off or not. And John, you had just a few days to plan your trip, right?
Yeah, so we went down, stayed with my parents in Orlando on a vacation, didn't know what day we were going to be able to go, so we didn't buy tickets until a few days out.
What's your family look like?
With us that went to Disney, we had at the time a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. I also have a 2-year-old little girl.
She stayed home.
I thought you were home. About to say, I also have a wife. You gave her age.
I do have a wife. Yes, I do have a wife. And we went, we didn't know what day we were going to be able to get there. So we waited till we got down to Florida. I think it was like on a Saturday. We booked the tickets for Monday or Tuesday. And, yeah, it was. It's changed a lot since I grew up there. It's definitely crowded, but it's definitely doable. And we ended up having a good time. We got there when the park opened. We left after the fireworks, and it was a great day all around.
Yeah, and the reason this even came up, this topic came up, is because John started listening to our podcast, and though he's not necessarily a Disney buff like we are, he was interested just hearing his friends talk about Disney on podcasts, which is very nice of him. But he heard, I think, Len or one of us say, you can start planning 180 days out. You can start hearing these dates that have become very familiar for a lot of Disney audiences. That's like you said, what is the DVC?
Yeah, you can start booking a DVC 11 months out.
Yeah, so 11 months out for DVC. It's an 180 for
and seven
period.
Months for
yeah,
any resort.
For any yeah. resort. And you yeah, know, like, cruises like, are even longer. You know,
we had talked about trying to do... A lunch in the castle, and literally we got laughed at when we were there.
Right.
And I didn't understand it, but now I do. Because whenever I was, whenever, even Lindsay and I went one time when we had just got married, which was 11 years ago, and we were able to eat in the castle the day we got there.
Yeah, no reservations.
No reservations. Either. We walked right in, had a lunch there, and we're like, oh, let's do that again.
And a lot has changed because of... Now you can book your... dining online only came on board like a few years ago. It was, you still had to call that phone number. I still have it saved in my phone. I used to call
WDW Dine.
I'm not gonna lie. I sometimes would call and just listen to the whole music because I'm a crazy person.
Well, when we got to the park that day, I felt bad because my 7-year-old, me and him, my 7-year-old boy split off, and my 5-year-old daughter and my wife split off, and we ran to Space Mountain, and they went straight to Anna and Elsa.
Yeah.
And so we go to Space Mountain and just literally walk up to the
ride. Car, yeah.
I mean, we get right in, go through the coaster, come back out, do the same thing again. And by the time we get out on the second time, there's like a 35-minute wait.
Yeah.
And Liam was like, let's just can we just go skip the line again? And I was like, yeah, let's go meet up with your mother and sister. And by the time we got over there, everything was
were they
packed.
Able to meet Anna and Elsa in that, even just that hour-ish?
Yeah, it was.
That's what's crazy right now. Still.
So Liam and I rode Space Mountain twice, walked all the way over to where the line was.
In Fantasyland.
In Fantasyland. Yeah. And I was able to go buy a autograph book and still hand her the autograph book outside of the room. So she was still in the outdoor queue. After Liam and I had
rode Space Mountain twice.
Yeah.
And that's just the nature of it. But they overall, now I just want to, from a kid, did they overall still, it's still a Disney experience. Did they enjoy themselves?
They did. You know, Disney does a great job of making the lines enjoyable. We had, I'm trying to think, the longest line we had, because we weren't able to do many fast passes because they were all, you know, they're all kind of booked up. But we were able to do a couple towards the end of the day, and we got like, the Toy Story, the Buzz Lightyear one. We did get the driving, what do you call that?
It's not Autopia. Tomorrowland. What is it called?
Tomorrowland Speedway.
So we got that one. And then none of the princesses were all the fast passes for those are booked. But yeah, we were able to have a good time. They really enjoyed it. The kids, you know, minor meltdowns as can be expected,
as you have every time.
But that's when
you
just shove a frozen Mickey in the kid's face and everything's better for about 30 minutes. So
tell me a little bit about, we're obviously, you planned this last minute. When did you decide you were going, and what planning went in other than just showing up at the park?
So we always knew we were going to go, because we knew we were going to go down to Florida in September to see my family, and we knew we would go to Disney. However, we're not the kind of family who likes to make commitments like that, and we didn't want to spend the money and then not be able to go.
Yeah, not know what day you're going.
Right, and, you know, because I know you can probably, I don't know if you can or not, I assume you can probably maybe change the day if you buy a ticket online.
Yeah, you can, you buy it for the day you're going. Now it's different because now there's peak pricing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But we didn't want to chance the weather. We didn't want to go down there saying, okay, we're definitely going to Disney on Monday, and then it's Monday storming. It's storming, yeah, all day, yeah, and then we should have gone Tuesday. So we just waited until we got down there. And we also, since we were only going to be down there for about 4 days, we didn't want to book it, not be able to go, and then not be able to go to the park. So,
and I think that's in general, that's a lot of people's, you know, especially locals or people that are visiting family, people that are visiting their grandparents in West Palm or in Boca or something like that. They want to make the trip up to Walt Disney World but can't plan that out. I'm in that situation right now. I'm going, you know, when you're hearing this, I'm probably there, but I have 2 days booked right now with fast passes, but I'm there for a week, and that's because there's a good chance I have no idea what it's going to be. I'm not lugging my 2-year-old through a storm, or my 4-month-old daughters. But this is the kind of big question was, can you plan a Walt Disney World vacation on a moment's notice? I have done this many times. I'm talking probably a dozen plus times. Now, Terry's a big planner.
No, but there's definitely, especially when Southwest did ding fares.
Yeah.
My wife and I would frequently see a ding fare come up on a Thursday and literally get on a plane in the next 48 hours sometimes. We would get on the season pass discount site. We would book a room at the resort last minute. Now, that was before Fast Pass Plus. I think Fast Pass Plus has changed that.
It's still not bad, though.
When it's not spring break or when it's not Christmas, I still think you can go. I would not recommend going down the week of Easter on a whim.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not going to have the best time of your life. And I think we talk about on the show a lot, we talk about expectations. And if you go on a whim expecting to have the fully planned out experience and you didn't plan, you're not going to have a good trip. But if you go knowing, hey, we're just going to go and do whatever, yeah, it's still, you know, you're still happier a day at Disney than you'd be anywhere else. So let's do that. We're going to just do what we can.
And I'll say this, going without making a plan for us was a little bit freeing, because even though the lines were very long, we didn't feel like we were boxed into a schedule. So we showed up, hey, we did Space Mountain. Do you want to go do Splash Mountain or Thunder Mountain, or do you want to go see a princess? We sort of just kind of did whatever we wanted, and we did have to wait in the lines, but, you know, the kids were, we're actually pretty good about it.
That has been the big negative, I have to say, with my Magic experience in the app, is that you just see a lot of people looking at their phones all day. You have a lot of people managing the lines, managing that. So I'm still on your side of that. I do like that idea of what we do is we power through our three fast passes, power through them. I mean, as quick as possible. We've given the tip before how you can update your app. Power through those first three passes and then move on and do whatever. And I'm a big fan of those secondary attractions.
The tip that I was given by my sister, who still lives there and is a season pass holder, was if you have a girl, go to Fantasyland. As soon as you get through the gates, just run to Fantasyland and do as many princesses or those rides as you can. And then, because those are the ones that fill up throughout the day, and there's some of the secondary rides.
Yeah, don't go do a Hall of Presidents early in the day.
Yeah, don't go do that during the day. Don't do It's a Small World as soon as you get there. Go meet Anna and Elsa, get that over with. Go meet some of the other princes. Go do the new Little Mermaid ride, and then, you know.
Get the core things knocked out, and then look for the icing later.
Exactly.
And I would say go far rather than go near. Don't go try to see Mickey as soon as you walk into the Magic Kingdom, because everybody is literally going there. Go to the back of the park. And, you know, I've actually done a touring plan before where you go at the last minute, and touring plan will tell you which attractions to hit in which order to get the most of your day.
You can do a custom optimized travel plan or touring plan right on their app. It's a free plug for them. It's a great app. Just download Walt Disney World Lines through touring plans. You can optimize your whole trip that way if you are that kind of planner. But I'm a fan of going on a whim. I'm a fan of doing those trips. It adds a little magic to you. Heck, this was when I had a ton of flight points, so a ton of Southwest points. And that's why I encourage you also, if you're interested in this kind of whim trip and you're okay with a credit card, get like a Southwest card. Get something else so that you can probably get your flights quickly reduced in price or lower because you're able to just go on a whim and go. When My sister-in-law, who's younger sister-in-law, she was a teenager at the time, was up. We had nothing for her to do in Nashville. We were very bored. There was nothing for her to do. And my wife was like, well, when's the next flight out to she hadn't done Wizarding World of Harry Potter yet. When's the next trip out? She's a big Harry Potter fan. So we looked, oh, there's one leaving in 2 hours. We booked it. We got on a plane within 2 hours and we got down there. And yeah, there was some confusion and a mess, but it was a blast. And we had a great time.
It's kind of the fun of it.
Yeah,
too, though,
it was a total adventure. And I think that's why I even think about when you hear about these things, kids always, you hear kids talking about, you see those videos of kids get surprised that day of that they're going to Walt Disney World. Well, that's the same can be for adults if you don't plan it out and you can just have that liberty to go on a weekend or go, say you have an extra day off work or whatever it is. You can always pop in and go to Walt Disney World, especially if you're a local. But even if you're traveling, if you're within, you know, obviously, you're in California, sorry, but if you're in Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, these states that have multiple direct flights to Orlando every day, it's a great tip. But you can plan these vacations. You can go to Walt Disney World without doing anything. Lynn even said that last one. Without planning anything, and they will present to you a lot of entertainment.
And if you're at the parks, you'll always see when you're driving on the parks, they have the reservation signs that says, hey, rooms available. Like, you go out of the Magic Kingdom, there's literally a sign, you're driving. You'll see one of the road signs that says, hey, rooms available right now on property. I will speak up right now that Disneyland is a much better park for a last-minute trip because it's sort of designed, because they haven't gotten FastPass Plus, that you can literally go to Disneyland on a whim almost any time.
Yeah, everyone will have this pretty much the same experience.
Yeah, it doesn't require as much planning.
But there's a lot more to do on a Walt Disney World vacation at the last minute. Too.
Never been.
I feel like that. Never been to Disneyland? Mm-hmm. We'll get you out there. You've been downtown Disney.
I have.
Because your fictional rock band played there once, right?
Yes. Yes. My once fictional rock band.
I don't know why they're fictional, but in my head, it's a fictional rock band.
I like that it's fictional, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost saw the Misfits at that House of Blues, and it almost disturbed me. I was like, can I go see the Misfits at Disney World? Like, it just felt odd.
Well, you have seen NOFX at Disney World. So
I know, but you're not, like, in walking proximity to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, but when you're in Disneyland, you have those biker gangs and they have Mickey Misfits.
Oh,
so
yes.
It actually kind of lines up seeing the Misfits at Disney.
Those are the weirdest things at Disneyland, are the people that have like their, are they social clubs or what are,
yeah,
I don't
they're,
know what
they're like biker social biker clubs. Hey, if you guys have any tips, you know, that's just a quick, you know, overview of our show here. But if you have any tips, please like reach out, let us know if you have any last minute tips. People that want to plan trips, if I want to go tomorrow, what am I going to do? If I can't get a FastPass Plus, what am I going to do? A lot of options that you can do. I hope you presented a few options. Any other last? Dining is a big one. How do you do dining when the fact that good chance. Look, spring break this week coming up, I cannot get a dining reservation, breakfast, lunch, or dinner at the Magic Kingdom in an 8-day period right now. There's not availability.
I've also heard some people have waited 60 people deep for a turkey leg.
Yep, old 60 deep turkey legs.
We always eat at that place across from the Haunted Mansion, the kind of British restaurant.
Columbia Harbor House?
We eat there every time. Every time we always eat lunch there.
Yeah, that's a good place.
And then for dinner, we eat at the place in Tomorrowland. We get the burgers in Tomorrowland.
Oh, the Sunny Eclipse. What do you call that?
Yeah,
Sunny Eclipse is the guy, but the restaurant isn't Sunny Eclipse. It's Cosmic
Rays?
Cosmic Rays, yeah. Which is always confusing. Why is Cosmic Ray not? It's just, that always disturbed me. You mean like with the big animatronic guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love him. He's my friend.
Yeah, actually, I reached out to him about coming on the podcast.
The animatronic is your friend?
Yeah, I just, you go there and you want to like be his friend. He's just a nice guy.
He's an alien.
He has no soul.
He works off of...
Is he a ginger? You know, gingers have no soul. You never heard that before.
No, he's a robot.
More realistically, he has no life in him. He is...
Now you're insulting my friends.
I've been in his guts, and in his guts, it's...
You just insulted gingers. People with red hair.
Real people.
The Irish clearly are not going to like this podcast.
For last-minute traveling. Any other last minute tips? You can still make ADRs. Look, if you click, I just said the Magic Kingdom. Anywhere on property, you're going to be able to get a dining reservation, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Maybe not your ideal. Look, I've looked. There's Ohana breakfast almost every day during spring break available right now.
I would say just check your app regularly, and people cancel. People change the times they want to dine.
Yeah.
And, you know, go knowing that you're just going to kind of walk into whatever. If you try to dine at like Le Cellier, so you really want to eat at Le Cellier, you could walk up. Whatever. Fancy. Such a fancy podcast. So, like, if you know that that's a place you want to eat, show up at, like, 3:30, and there's a decent chance if you're nice, they'll probably squeeze you in.
You can try. Yeah, also, people cancel. Like you said, I just got a reservation spring break week. Chef Mickey's 5:45 in the evening on a Saturday night.
Yeah,
for a party of seven.
We actually did that the day that we were there.
Yeah.
We put in a reservation, and we did get a table. I don't remember the restaurant. But we had already eaten. So we put in our name at the beginning of like 10 o'clock, and then we ended up did get a table, but we had already eaten. So
I thought you were going to say, we did get a table, but they wouldn't serve us food. We could just relax.
Yeah. Oh, I would do that. If it had character dining without the dining, done.
It was more so because the kids just couldn't wait.
Yeah, couldn't handle it.
But it is possible. I will say it is possible. And we did have a great time. I think it's definitely possible to do a day of event and have a great experience.
What's the one thing you would definitely try to do on a last minute trip and definitely not do on a last minute trip?
Depends on the time of year.
Yeah, let's mull that over. Okay, let's just say
last minute trip, drink around the world.
Yeah, no lunch. Never
guaranteed.
Will, is that not just any trip?
Or yes, but you said what is the one thing
that you would do in moderation?
Yeah.
So okay, what would you not do? What would you not do?
What would I not do? Not probably the one thing I would not do is probably something like that, like a character dining or something like that I don't typically do, but especially if it's a busy time, I'm not going to try to force it.
All right, Terry, why don't you go ahead, because I'm stumbling. You hit us with this fastball.
I would definitely try and do some of the things that I don't normally do, like the random walk-ups, like
parasailing.
No.
Every time.
Water sprites.
We're getting you on a parasail.
Me on a parasail just sounds like a bad idea.
It sounds like a great idea. It sounds like my favorite idea ever. Yeah, sorry.
I haven't even finished.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said that. Oh, what are you not going to do?
No, you answered for answer parasailing.
You just gave me my answer.
I'm sorry. I just want you to parasail so bad.
Are we going to like do a GoFundMe for me parasailing or something? Is this like a
new... You can do that. I'm not going to do that.
I think we can just say, Terry goes parasailing.
Yeah, I think we'd get a lot of money for that. And we videotape it. POV shot.
Yeah, part of Soarin' Over Florida. We could have the...
Soarin' Over Florida is just Terry parasailing.
It's the worst ride ever.
Over Bay Lake. Look, folks.
For everyone else, but just for you, you're the only one that gets to experience it.
There's an old busted water park. All right, go ahead.
I would definitely go and experience the resorts and the lounges and the snacks that are there. I would probably not try to do e-ticket attractions unless I could just walk up. I would not be expecting that I'd be doing them.
for a last minute trip, I not miss for me Magic Kingdom. I think would be a not. I mean, it's in general Magic Kingdom. I would make sure we do it. Do some of the e-ticket attractions, because even though the Magic Kingdom may not be my favorite park, there's nothing like a random day where you end up in the Magic Kingdom. You know what's also fun? Don't tell people you're going. It's fun to be like, you know what? We're here and no one knows we're here. Don't post about it. Don't do it. You can post about it later. But just to have that experience with you and your family, just being like, it's almost a full surprise.
Phones in the old backpack.
You take pictures. Just don't post. No pictures.
No pictures.
It's like the Magic Castle. No pictures.
You don't even know you're there.
Things I wouldn't do. I would not do the Animal Kingdom. I probably would skip the Animal Kingdom on a last minute trip.
Sad.
But I would probably do Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios in one day if I could. That's what I would do. Three or four parks in one day. What I would not do
is Animal Kingdom.
Is Animal Kingdom. I would not eat at
the turkey legs.
I would.
Then
not
you're missing out on Flame Tree, which would actually be one of the dining suggestions I would make if you're going at the last.
Not schlepping over there for barbecue though. Just for barbecue? Just for good barbecue?
Good barbecue, and then you can go to the back and into the jungle track.
Is it good barbecue compared to what you could have just here?
No, it's bad barbecue compared to what you can get here. It's like, it's good theme park barbecue. It's the best theme park barbecue. It's
still theme park barbecue.
Still theme park barbecue. I would not go to Tony's.
Theme park barbecue is my folk band.
That's the name of your book, I think. That's a good book.
Theme park barbecue is my fan fiction.
Oh, it's like your 50 Shades. John, what do you do you have any thoughts on that? No.
I don't have enough information here. I would say probably I wouldn't try to squeeze. I would, if it was a last minute trip, I'd try to take a deep breath. Know that you're going to have the lines, kind of chill out and try to have a fun day. I wouldn't try to squeeze
was
in.
Were there
everything.
Any, but Space Mountain was your go-to. You had to, for Liam, you had to do that.
He wanted to do that all day long. As soon as we left, because we only did it twice in the morning, that we didn't do it the rest of the day. We went back two times and it was like 120 minute wait. And we only did the two times, but we had a great time. We stayed till the fireworks at the end. Claire slept through it. Liam saw them, and then we saw the parade, and then we left. It was a good day. We stayed open to close.
All right. Well, that will do it for this segment. Thank you. If you had any tips, again, tweet us. Let us know what your tips are for last-minute travel. We hope you enjoy it. I hope you like it, because I'm a big fan of last-minute travel. There's actually nothing quite magical as not knowing you're going and ending up within a day or two. Standing at the gates of the Magic Kingdom. So, all right, that'll do it for this segment. We'll be back with listener questions with Vin.
Vin, who is filling in this week for for Lynn.
Listener questions with Vin. All right, we'll be right back.
I want to use this quick break to tell you about the Dawes Virtual 5K, The Force Awakens. This 5K is a special one because it is a virtual event. Even though you participate wherever you are, it's fun to get a group together and post about it on social media. There's no set way to compete in the 5K. You can walk, run, bike, skip, you choose, but participants get a cool themed medal for participating. This year, it's a Star Wars theme, which is really cool. 100% of the proceeds benefit Dawes, a nonprofit organization which stands for Do Away with SMA. You may or may not know this, but SMA, or spinal muscular atrophy, is the number one genetic killer of children under the age of 2. Visit our site, wdwtoday.com, and click the link there to register for this event. You can use the promo code WDWtoday and get 10% off the registration fee. Really hope you guys participate. We're planning on getting a group together and having a great time with it, and it benefits a great cause. So once more, register today and use promo code WDWtoday for 10% off registration. And now back to the show.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, folks, welcome to everyone's favorite segment, Listener Questions with Lynn. And Lynn, you just got back from the world, right?
I did. Spent a week there, actually, and I changed hotels every night again. Did some off-site stuff. Did some on-site stuff too. Also got a treat. Got to stay at one of the new Poly bungalows. New quote.
Tell us about that.
Did you win the lottery since the last show, or did you?
It was, yeah, right. So it was this. My we had some DVC points that we had given to my younger sister last year, and she was going to go do a week at Animal Kingdom Lodge. A couple days before the trip, at the end of February, she had to cancel the trip. Her husband got a promotion and had to go off to meet his new corporate overlord or whatever. So the points were going to go to waste. So it was like 160 points that we had given her. And rather than spending a week at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, we said we would spend it on one night at the Polynesian Bungalow. So 160 points. So a point is worth about $14 plus tax, making this one night at the bungalow worth a little bit more than $2,500.
Was it worth every DVC point you spent on it?
Do you want the good stuff first or the
My
bad
first
stuff
question
first?
Is was it loud? Because I've heard that feedback because of where it is that it's just really loud.
It was amazingly loud. So we were the second, we were in 7019, which is the second bungalow from the TTC. It's close enough to the ferry dock that I had conversations with people on the boats as they were passing.
This isn't hyperbole. You actually had conversations.
No. Let me just tell you what all the conversations were. Hey, how much did you pay for that room? About $2,500. Stay in school, kids. That was the entire conversation
awesome.
Right there. But a few people just said hi. And the ferry horn noise is incredible. I mean, to say that it's like a train going through your house every 15 minutes that's maybe an exaggeration, but it's not only is it noticeable, it stops conversation whenever it happens because it's like I can't hear the TV anymore,
So what
loud.
You're saying is we will never be able to actually record a podcast from there.
No, dude. I actually taped one of them on my iPhone. I'll send it to you guys as an audio file and send it out. But it's like, the entire time, right? I hope I just didn't blow everyone's speakers there. The other thing was that I noticed in terms of noise was that a couple of people had said that there's a loud flushing noise that happens whenever anyone runs water, and I definitely heard it happen. Laurel was taking a shower. And it's almost like a vacuum tank is being evacuated. So I think what they're doing is they're pumping in water into a pressurized tank underneath the villa so that you have good water pressure.
Because you're so far
from the main building out there. And I think that, periodically they have to, repressurize the tank, and I think that's what you're hearing. That, or it's the exact opposite. It's like gray water or something being flushed.
You're really
out.
Staying in an RV that floats.
Yeah, really on stilts. You know. Okay. So what else? This is my big thing, right? So you check in at 4, you check out at 11. So you're there for 19 hours, right? 19 hours at 160 points is roughly 8.5 points an hour, right?
Wow.
We 8.5 points an hour. So let's put this in perspective. I think a studio at Saratoga Springs is about 10 points a night.
A non-view room at Jumbo House, I think, is 9. Maybe 8, actually.
Every hour that you're in the Poly Bungalow, you can stay.
So what you're saying is you can stay 19 days for one night on points.
For what I paid for this bungalow. So here's the thing. We checked in at noon. Room wasn't ready. They said they would text us. 1 o'clock rolls around, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock rolls around. We're an hour late for checking in. Finally, Laurel walks to the front desk. I'm like, oh yeah, your room is perfectly ready. You come on in. By the time we got in, it was 5:15. We had essentially wasted 10 points. So that 75-minute delay was worth one night at Animal Kingdom Lodge. The first knock the next morning to get out of the room, like, hey, are you out of the room? Came before 9 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah.
They are punctual there.
So that they're like, yeah, well, they're punctual on the back end anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
No late checkouts.
You know, so it was noisy. You're very close to the ferry dock. It's just sort of breathtaking expensive. I took a shower in every shower. Just to say I did everything in the room. Because I was like, let me do a snow angel on the beds. Let me feel what the carpet is like on the floor. I opened every cabinet. you know, I licked every bolt. No, just kidding.
Was there any positives?
So here's the thing. The entire inside of it is beautiful. The fit and finish of everything is great. It was the most comfortable bed I slept in all of last week, and I slept in 7 different hotels last week. The bed is soft and wonderful, and it's the exact sort of thing you would want after a long day at the parks. Pillows were perfect. Plenty of hot water, plenty of water pressure. Everything worked. And like I said, the fit and the finish on everything was just great. Granite countertops. The deck was beautiful. There were no sharp edges anywhere. You or your kids could walk around in bare feet without, without worrying about getting splinters and everything. Everything was great. Everything, and like I said, everything worked. And I would even deal with the horn thing because the horn just reminds you you're on a lake. It was the cost and the not being able to check in till an hour later thing that just rubbed me the wrong way.
And it almost seems like if you're going to be in that room, you're going to want to be in it for the full 19 hours and probably want to kind of be awake to enjoy it. Like it's,
oh, I was thinking, do I have any modafinil that I could take to just stay for the next 24 hours? I mean, so I talked to Steve, you guys know Steve Tiki Man Seifert.
We're going to say yes.
Sure. He runs the Tiki Man Polynesian pages. It's a website devoted to the Polynesian. So I was talking to him about it while I was waiting to check in. And he said that for something like the bungalow, you really want to stay there for 2 days because when you have the check-in, check-out, check-in one night, check-out the next morning, you really don't get the chance to enjoy the room mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
And that's where – so you really – but even then, dude, that's $5,000.
Yeah.
I will go to Europe for $5,000. I will not go to Disney World for $5,000. I will go to Europe.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I had just stayed in the new studios, the DVC studios, and those are fantastic. Those – I loved everything about those. I love the Poly. But yeah, everything I've heard about the bungalows, I'm just like, okay, insanity has set in. So, what is your prediction with the bungalows coming to Fort Wilderness Lodge?
Yeah, that's the thing I can't figure out. So I had heard that the Poly bungalows are, the occupancy rate is less than 40%, and when I was there, I only saw people in one other bungalow. In fact, there was no one the entire night on either side of us. So that no one came out. There were no lights on. We had 7019. There was one more 7020, which to our right, 7018, obviously to our left. No one was there. Someone was in 70, I guess two doors down. But that's all I saw. The thing that I can't figure out is why they would be building so many of those at the Wilderness Lodge when these aren't that occupied, unless they're thinking of a drastically lower price point.
Which could be.
Sure, exactly.
So earlier in the episode, Lynn, we talked about last-minute trips. So we've got a couple of like last-minute questions for you for last-minute trip planning. So here we go. It's Thursday. We decide to go to WDW this weekend. This is from Brian Levine. Which sit-down restaurants inside the parks offer the best chance for a party of two to get their last-minute ADR or get a table as a walk-up?
A party of two, dining or walk-up. All right, so I'll give you what you should go for, and then if it's not available, what you can try for. So if you can't get something at like Cinderella's Royal Table or Be Our Guest in the Magic Kingdom, right, the things that would typically work would be Crystal Palace or the Skipper Canteen, which is same-day reservations only. And both of those are comparable in terms of quality and reader satisfaction. In the other parks in Epcot, Akershus Royal Banquet Hall, relatively easy to get. And in the Animal Kingdom, Tusker House is relatively. So if you want a sort of a character meal type thing, if you can't get into Victoria and Albert's, something like Jico or Narcoosie's or even California Grill is relatively straightforward to get into. If you can't get into Le Cellier, Yachtsman Steakhouse is good. Boathouse is also tops.
Yeah, and I would always recommend the lounges. You can always, someone reached out to us on Twitter and they were asking about the lounge at Sanaa, and you can always just walk in. Have the full menu there, so you can get bread service and, there's lots of options on resorts where you can just eat at the lounge.
And I feel like if you're planning something last minute, you probably want to maximize your ability to get things done. So going to a lounge or something maybe a little bit quicker, if there's space available, you can walk in you may be able to get out quicker to go get some more park time.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to check for ADRs, because they always tend to come open. People who are there are always canceling and changing their times. Yeah. We do it all the time. You know, like, hey, let's eat at 7 instead of 4.
Yeah, if you want to check like 2 days before, some people will start canceling then. And then even some people will let you cancel the day of. Actually, that was kind of deep. Back at with my poly stay, I actually had a reservation at Kona that I canceled day of because I decided to order to stay in the room and order Ohana room service.
Yeah, I feel so, like that was the right call, being able to stay in the room a little bit longer. Right.
You had 16 vacation points to enjoy.
Yeah, I did not leave the bungalow the entire time when I was there. But my point is that sometimes if you're transferring from one reservation to another, they will let you cancel same day. But if you're not canceling anything, just check like a day or two out when people have canceled their upcoming reservations. You might be able to snag something.
All right, we've got another last minute planning question. This one's from Patrick. He says, are any fast passes held back for day guests? If I'm planning a trip a week out, is it better for me to try and book fast passes today, locking in 3 times, or should I go in at rope drop with no fast passes so I can book all 3 as soon as the gates open?
I don't think they hold anything back for day guests, because technically a day guest is somebody who can make a reservation 30 days in advance. Get whatever you can the week out. In fact, we'll talk about this on another episode, but I actually did exactly what Patrick is trying to do. I planned my touring plan with my fast passes less than 5 days before I arrived in the park. And it's a whole interesting thing about what you end up doing when stuff isn't available.
Well, but, I can't wait to hear that. That sounds fascinating. Yeah.
It was really interesting because the touring plan did something that was non-intuitive. Like, I never would have guessed it would have done this, but it worked out great. So we'll talk about that in the next show. But yeah, Patrick, they don't hold anything back for days.
And I feel like if you know a week out you're going regardless, like, you should be planning as far in advance to make sure that you do the things you want to do.
And plus, if you, let's say you make your reservations, you've at least got those, right? Your fast pass reservations, you've got those. Let's say something does show up the day of, you can always switch, but it's better to have something and switch than to not have anything and hope.
Fair enough. All right. Kevin from Facebook asks, with all the changes happening at Disney Springs, do you have a favorite for dinner? We talk about Disney Springs quite often on this show because of how much it is changing. But Lynn, what do you think the best dinner option at Disney Springs is?
So I still like Boathouse. I still like Morimoto. And I still like Chuck Lindsay's. The thing that I'm a little concerned about, and you see this every time Disney opens a new restaurant, but the prices keep going up at Morimoto, you know, little by little, dollar by dollar. When they first opened, the median entree price was like around $14. Then it was $15. Now it's creeping up towards $17. Wow. Which, when you think about a $3 increase on a $14 meal, that's fairly significant. That's a 20% price increase. So there's that. I mean, still a good value, and the food is top notch. That could reflect, you know, the fact that they're using different ingredients or better ingredients, or, you know, it could just be that they were trying to find the right price point. You would think that given the restaurant experience that all the combined group has, Patina, or is it Patina that's behind Morimoto? I think it's Morimoto, Patina, and Disney. They all know how to price things to begin with, you know, to be able to have, like, you know, 3 price increases or 4 price increases in the few months since it's been open. That just tells me that they're looking to maximize profit. So,
all right, Terry, you've been recently to Disney Springs. I still haven't been since they've done all these changes. So I'm going to go ahead and throw out there that I'm really looking forward to trying Boathouse. Even though I haven't, I guess I can't officially weigh in on this. That's what I'm looking forward to. But Terry,
loved Boathouse, both from, like, I think a vibe and experience, and from the just food quality, service quality. Yeah. It just felt like they were, even though it's like kind of like a middle of the road, like, price range restaurant, I think it felt like you were getting the service we got was just over the top great. So. Boathouse would probably be my first. What do you think of the other, the newish Italian place that's kind of next door? What's that place called? It's sort of forgettable. It's been there forever. It's a Portobello.
Portobello? That's doomed. there's no way to there's no way delicate way to put that. It doesn't do well in our reader surveys. The menu is not innovative. You know, it's going to go to the way of Fulton's. You know, Fulton's is closed.
Is Fulton's gone or just being re?
It's. I think they're going to go through a retheming and remenuing.
See, I love Fulton's. I used to always love going to Fulton's. I guess probably the problem is I haven't been in a while, and
yeah,
that's probably a lot of.
Well,
problems.
Not only that, but that was sort of like an old seafood concept versus the Boathouse's new seafood concept.
Yeah. And they're fairly close to each other, proximity wise. So
you could walk. Yeah, you could probably jump from the Boathouse. You could take one of the little cars over to it. Yeah, it's not. It's definitely swimming distance. You know, the other thing though that I liked have you guys been to the chocolate shop yet, the Ganachery?
Yes.
At Disney Springs. It's a $3 piece of chocolate that's about an inch and a quarter square, but it's really good expensive chocolate.
So worth the $3?
The problem I have with the Ganachery is the smallest bathroom in my house is larger than the Ganachery. You go in there to buy your chocolate, and it's like you stand in, you can touch, it's really small. It's kind of crazy.
You could probably touch the window that looks into the actual chocolatery. The place where they do the chocolate, you could probably put one hand on the glass and hug the person that's running the cash register with your other free arm.
Yeah,
right?
It felt like get me out of there. Like I could eat the chocolate.
We're all friends here.
Going in exactly. There was like terrifying for me. I don't know.
Yeah, it was funny. I was in there not this time, but the last time. Somebody was in there as well and wanted to sample the chocolate before they bought it, and. They're like, sure, you know, we'll give you two samples for $3. And the woman that asked for the samples looked at the dude like he was from Mars. Like, why would I pay $3 for two, you know, quarter inch samples of chocolate? And to be fair, the other woman that was with us, the woman who asked the question was like, look, this is really good chocolate. I've been here before. It's fantastic. They make it on site. You know, this is not they're not charging you $3 for a Hershey bar. Right. But it was kind of funny to see people see those prices for the first time. I totally think it's worth it. I've been there twice. I've got chocolate both times. It's expensive chocolate. It's a treat. It's very good. Service is
excellent. Actually sounds like a pretty good tip, actually, if you want to try a couple to get the sample.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not going to be the full size, but you try two smaller pieces for $3. That actually, I might do that.
Yeah. So that's not bad. And they'll – So I've talked to the people that work there a couple times, and they said the business is great. So I guess, you know, it depends on what you're used to paying for. If you're coming from a big city, maybe $3 for a piece of chocolate is not that big of a deal.
It's very strategically well-placed in your walk through Disney Springs that you kind of need it right there. So it's just at the right, yeah, I think I will buy it.
Yeah, if you park at the orange parking lot, if you're coming back from Boathouse or Raglan Road or Morimoto or Jack Lindsay's, you walk right by it. Genius.
All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of WDW Today. As always, we want to thank Off Kilter, the best band in podcasting, for their wonderful contribution to this show. It wouldn't be quite as musical without them. Also, don't forget, DLP Fest is coming up this fall, and what's the best way to get down there? That's right, call our friends at Off to Neverland Travel. The best way to get in touch with them is gotoneverland.com. That's gotoneverland.com. They've got great rates on great hotels on property, so you can be down there for the entire festival weekend. It's going to be great. gotoneverland.com, or if you want to read more about the festival, dlpfest.com. And I've been abandoned by all my podcasting co-hosts, so I will say today for Logan Seculo, Terry Weaver, Lynn Testa, and I'm Will Haynes, thanks for listening to WDW Today. Rate and review us on iTunes.